Did you ever hear the story about the boy who cried wolf? Let me refresh your memory, because this is a children's story. It's supposed to teach a kid a lesson. Donald Trump, I don't think, ever heard this story. There was a kid who was walking around, and he started screaming, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." These were the days when wolves were attacking people. You remember that day. "Wolf, wolf, wolf." And all the villagers came running. And they said, "We don't see any wolf." And the little boy said, "I could have sworn I saw one. I saw a wolf. But there's no wolf here." The little boy liked the attention, though. Everybody came running when he cried wolf. Like that. Like the attention. Next day, the villagers are doing their village stuff, and they hear in the distance the little boy crying, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." And the villagers come running, and they go, "Okay, where's the wolf? We're here to save you." "Well, thanks for the attention. I did see a wolf. Thank you for all coming." "There's no wolf here, little boy. Stop doing this." Little boy said, "Oh, all right." Third day, villagers are doing their village thing. They're in the village, and all of a sudden, in the distance, they hear the crying from the little boy, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." They come running, and they go, "Okay, little boy, where is the wolf?" And the little boy says, I don't know. "There's a little wolf here somewhere. Thanks for coming, though. Thanks for the attention." Villagers are getting a little pissed off now. Bunch of pissed off villagers you got here. Fourth day, villagers are in the village. They hear in the distance, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." The little boy's crying, "Wolf, wolf, wolf." Villagers look at each other and they go, "Nah, you know, this is getting absurd. The little kid is just a lying little asshole. I mean, forget it." And later on, they go walking by the little boy's place, and they find the little boy lying on the ground, eaten by a wolf. And the villagers look at each other and go, "That's what happens. That's what happens when you keep lying. We start not believing you." This is the story of the president. The man, or little boy, who lied and cried wolf. For the attention, lied, and tried to shift the focus to other people because he never takes the blame for anything. I remember so vividly Trump during the campaign saying that his father told him, "Never apologize for anything, because apologizing and admitting you're wrong is a sign of weakness." Oh, that works. So Trump turned it on everybody. The FBI, they lie. The intelligence agencies in this country, they lie. The judges, the court systems, they lie. Anybody who's not a white Caucasian, they lie. Robert Mueller, the investigators, they lie. The media, everything they say, they're lies. They're the enemy of the people. Trump, he don't lie. In the meantime, fact check on Trump, he lies more than lies themselves. Thousands and thousands and thousands of lies. Isn't it about time that we, next time he lies, we all look at him and go, "Pff." Next time he says something, we all look at him and we say, "Pff. You're lying. I can't believe you anymore. You've ruined your credibility and then some." When are we going to wake up? Smell the coffee. Coffee's ready. I have no idea what that means. Wake up and smell the coffee? I mean, that just means the coffee's ready.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Have coffee, I guess.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Wake up and smell the coffee.
Whatever.
I know what that means.
We'll be right back.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really? All right, calm down. It's gonna be all right. Calm down. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam, and you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. And I am, just so you know, wearing pants. I don't have to. There's no way you would know if I was sitting here not wearing pants. But I am. So that should make you feel a lot better right off the start. Wake up and smell the coffee. I think I've told you before, I had a conversation with a lovely young lady yesterday. We were talking about coffee. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I don't know. And she said she loves Starbucks. Starbucks is the only place that she'll get her coffee from. And I said, I can't relate to you. Conversation's got to end right now because I don't go to Starbucks. I'm not frightened of a lot of things. I don't like spiders. I get really antsy around clowns. But coffee, Starbucks, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I got Starbucks phobia. Starbuckophobia. I can't go in that place. I'm allowed to go in, but I can't function. My bones start rattling, my skin crawls. I feel like I'm out of place. I feel like I'm in a foreign country and I don't know the language at all. And they're all about to lynch me. That's the feeling I get in Starbucks. Like, as soon as I walk in, it's like everybody turns around and says, "He doesn't belong here. That guy don't belong here. He ain't no Starbucks guy. Where's his laptop? He ain't no Starbucks guy." Scary. I don't know how to order at Starbucks. I don't know where to stand. Do you have to get down on your knees and kiss a ring or something? I don't know what you do in Starbucks. I don't know how to order. I always hope it's crowded so I can stand in line and learn from the people in front of me what to do. I don't, and this is all for a cup of coffee. I mean, I feel like I'm in a church about to be confirmed or something or baptized. I don't know what, I don't understand what to do. God forbid there's nobody there and I'm in the front of the line and there's no line and the Starbuckian person looks at me and says, "Can I help you?" And I my teeth chatter and I go, I don't know. I'd like some coffee. And they don't understand that. They don't understand what coffee is. They say, "Well, what kind of coffee?" The one that's dark in color and you put stuff in it to make it more feasible, that coffee, you know, don't you do coffee here? So yes, but we have the, we've got the latte, we've got the schmatte, we've got the flupatino, the flupatino, we've got the Colombian, the house, the dark roasted, the light roasted, the funny roasted, the ridiculous roasted, the unroasted, the deep fried. We have all kinds of coffee. Which one do you want? The kind that goes in the cup. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Then they say to me, and then this floors me, they say, "What size do you want?" And I say, "Well, give me the medium size." So I don't know what you're talking about. "We don't have a medium." "Well, then give me the large." "We don't have a large." "What do you have?" "We have grande, semi-grande, petito, grandolano, schmatodamdo." I said, "Look, I don't speak your language. In high school, I took like first year French, and this is not getting me anywhere here. What do you call a small cup of coffee?" "A grande nato." I said, "Wow, my God." I said, "Just give me a goddamn cup of coffee with cream and sugar." "You know, we don't put cream and sugar in your coffee. They do at Dunkin' Donuts. We don't do that here. We don't get paid to do that. Over there, there's a little place. It's like a little table over there. There's cream and sugar. Do it yourself, man. Like, what do you think this is, a coffee place? What do you think we're going to put the cream and the sugar in your coffee? I don't know what I'm trying. They have attitudes. They've got tudes going on. And then they've got these little headsets on with little microphones. And I don't know what are they connected to. I mean, I don't understand. Like, what? It's goddamn coffee, man. Just... What do you need some kind of communications device on yourself for? What are you doing? Are you communicating with an alien spacecraft? Are you calling in like police calls somewhere? What are you doing? Why do you have that on you? Pick up a pot, pour the coffee in, give it to me, I give you money, I leave. Why can't we do that? Why do I have to play these games with you? And the people behind the counter act like they are so highfalutin, like they drive Ferraris and Maseratis and stuff. They don't. They're getting minimum wage standing behind a counter pouring coffee. Who the hell do you think you are? You're not an executive. Is that what they told you? We're going to give you $6 an hour, but we'll call you the executive coffee server. I mean, what is going on in this place? What is it? I don't understand some things, and I don't understand retail coffee places. I went to a place called BJ's Wholesale. This is I think they have them around the country. I shudder to think what the BJ stands for. I know what it stands for, but nobody seems to want to admit it. I go into this place for the first time because I heard that they had like a trial membership. And I thought, I'll try anything once. Well, that never worked in my life, but, you know, I still do. I'm somewhat adventurous. So I walk into this BJ's Wholesale, and I was flabbergasted. What I did was I just walked into a warehouse where they have shit all over the place. That's all it is. There's just crap all over the place with signs on it that give a price. I'm like, why am I rummaging through this? And the prices were not impressive at all. I wouldn't pay that much for the whole warehouse. It was stupid. And people wandering around with these gigantic carts, big enough like for a trailer home. You could live in these shopping carts, banging into each other, walking around. It's disgusting. It's dirty looking to me. I don't know. Every once in a while I go to Target just to get the feeling of what real retail is supposed to be like. Everything's red. Everything's red in Target. Try doing this once. Walk into Target wearing a red polo shirt and let customers come up to you and say, oh, how much is that that couch over there? Oh, it's free. Just take it. Just make believe you work there and mess with them. All it takes is a red shirt. It's not a big deal. It's not a complicated uniform. But they merchandise very well. It's an attractive store. I just walk through the store and I say, hey, I'm an attractive store. I love it. I love it. I don't know. Nothing seems to be working out anymore. Someday, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think the light is people coming back to their senses, doing things that are just easy and wonderful. I'll be talking about this for a while. I dislike Facebook. I have many Facebook accounts. Most of them are mistakes. I'm going to get rid of all of them. I have not been on Facebook now for at least half a year. At least half a year. I've probably got 5,000 messages that I will never see. Facebook, apparently, because, you know, your messages, thank you, Ron. Ron, you should pursue a career in radio where you can talk. Anyway, it's supposed to be private, but it's not. Facebook actually gives Spotify, Sony, Microsoft, Amazon, Netflix, and nearly 80 other companies, your information, that information that you put in about your age and where you live and where you went to school and your parents' name and all the pictures of you and then all the anywhere from 50 to 500 friends that you may have. They're not friends, but they're hookups. So they figure that, okay, you know, we'll take their information and we'll start hawking their friends merchandise and stuff like that, figuring they're on the same page as you. Literally, Facebook made money by selling that information to these companies. Sometimes addresses, sometimes your list of friends that you have, sometimes your personal information. Facebook has done you wrong. Anybody who still has a Facebook account and uses it is definitely being used. This wasn't the idea of the Facebook thing. And the guy that runs it, Steve Guttenberg, I think that's his name. I confuse the guy as an actor or something all the time. Mark Zucchini Burger. He says, oh, we're wonderful at Facebook, and we're wonderful. No, you're not. You know, you're not. You took advantage of everybody, and you sold their information. Well, if you read the fine print, it says that we can do that. Yeah, but that's not what you told people. And who reads the fine print? Give me a break. We're not doing a legal contract here. We're not buying a corporation. We're not renting an apartment. We're just doing your little Facebook thing. Crazy, isn't it, man? Well, thank goodness that today we are joined by the wonderful and talented and charming Alicia Carey. On Wednesdays, we do Chit Chat with Alicia Carey. Alicia is an entrepreneur, a business owner, a fashion designer, one of the leading ones in New York City, and she parks herself in a coffee shop in the city and has conversation with us, myself being in a suburb of the Boston area, and we chit-chat. We have never met, and somehow we discuss things. Topics of social importance that you think about but you really don't talk about, because what's the point? Well, there is a point, because everything has a deeper meaning. And we're going to talk to Alicia Carey about a very seasonal topic today, so I hope you stay with us. In the meantime, I'm going to be right back. Am I grumpy?
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about way better?
Hey.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's cruel. That was cruel. Okay, Alicia, let's do this. Yes, it's time for a chit-chat with Alicia Carey. She joins us now from the lovely city of New York. How is it there?
You know, today it's crisp and it's cool. It's not cold.
All right.
So
livable.
And it's not raining. We had like this rainy day yesterday, which I hated. Yes. It was not just because it's the rain. It's the rain that has it's schwitzing sideways, so it's coming down on you, but it's also like doing this all around you. So basically you're wet. There's no umbrella that can kind of keep it from you.
Did you say it was spritzing sideways?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Interesting choice of words.
Yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. Okay. You know, the holidays are a problem. By the way, Where are you today? Are you in a coffee shop?
I am. I am in the favorite good. One that I like. Love this. And I think they might be, there's no customers today, so good. We might have some, this no lattes. Today,
I enjoy it when you're in a coffee shop. It just kind of brings.
Authentic?
Yes.
Authenticity? Yes.
It's, well, because life is passing you by outside the window, and that's pretty much what this is about. Life just passing us by. The window. Okay.
Amen. All right. What a philosophy.
Yeah, not so bad, huh? Okay. Yeah. The holiday season is still upon us. I can't seem to get rid of it. Yeah. And I've, you know, many times on this show I've talked about this, but I wanted your spin on it. Children are brought up with these lovely fantasies that are magical and their eyes open and they're just so full of joy and anticipation, and yet they are lies. And we take the fable of Santa Claus coming down a chimney, which a lot of kids don't even have chimneys, and they buy this, and then when they get older they find out from their friends usually that there is no Santa Claus. And I it's a whole society built on lies. It's one thing to tell a story or a fable, it's another thing to try to make them believe it's true.
Yeah. My spin is gonna shock you. Right. I believe in the lie of Santa Claus, okay. And I'll tell you why. It's the first introduction that children have to this thing called fate. Mm-hmm. This thing that being able not to see something, not to feel it, not to touch it, but believe that it exists.
I understand.
So that's the first kernel. I do believe in a later date to maybe tell children maybe possibly the truth, but I don't know. There's one of my favorite, this is the time of year I watch all my holiday TV shows, and Polar Express is kind of sums this up for me. If you've ever seen Polar Express.
Yeah. Isn't that an online bowling game?
No, oh, okay. Polar Express is a holiday movie about these kids that did not believe in Santa Claus, and they got picked up in the middle of the night. Yes. I know that sounds like abduction. They went to the North to see Santa Claus.
Okay,
and they all came with the belief that there was a Santa Claus. But the thing is that at the end of the show, it shows that some of them held on to that, and as they got older, they lost that. And one guy who had this bell still kept it till the day he died. And I'm like similar to him. I might not physically say that there's a Santa, but the spirit of that Christmas, I believe in it. That's my back end story to say that a little hope, a little faith, that's what that plants in children.
That's what I
like about that story. So I buy into that lie for that reason.
Yeah. Well, here's what I don't like about it is that lie, that fantasy, that hope is eventually dashed and crushed like a chestnut on open fire. It's taken away. It's like, well, I guess I enjoyed the fantasy while it was there, but I mean, I don't think a child ever looks at their parents and says, "You bastard, you lied to me." I don't think.
Well, they might get upset, but one of the things I think, if parents are listening, I think the thing that you can kind of explain to them when they're older, when they're younger, the concept of Christmas spirit goes over their head. You know, it's like calculus. It's like teaching a 2-year-old, long division. It doesn't work. So you give them what is spoonable to them. So that's Santa Claus. It's spoonable, meaning be good to each other during this time of year. Actually, you should be good to each other all time of year. But as kids, it's enough for them to even share their toys. So the parents are giving them spoonable lessons. So as they get older, you might want to take older Johnny, older Janie to the side and say, listen, we might not have a physical Santa Claus, but there is a spirit of giving. There's a spirit of being kind to each other and all that kind of stuff that kind of embodies Santa Claus. So mommy's Santa Claus, daddy's Santa Claus, Aunt Janie's Santa Claus. You might want to kind of expand on it. But I'm just saying, when they're little, it's just that this is as much as their brains can anchor themselves around.
Well, that's true.
They're very trickable. Yeah, so I said the lie is good till about 5 or 7.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, I would say, expand on the lie. You know what I mean?
Well, I know. I mean, you know, a child eventually says to their parent, how come Santa Claus, how come I'm seeing 5 of them at the same time?
Yeah, you know, you're right.
And then the parent has to start explaining and go, well, those aren't the real ones. They're dressed up like Santa. It's like the lie expands. It's like Trump. It's like you tell a lie and then you have to cover your lie with more lies.
It is Trump lies. It is Trump lies if I think of it, because my mom said they were Santa's helpers.
Yes.
So Trump's lies is like nothing I did was criminal. Right. So yeah, so it's like, yeah, it is Trump lies.
Kind of, but, I don't know.
But I must tell you, though, I'm going to be very honest. I wasn't exactly upset about it, but I was more intrigued by it. Could there possibly be, who knows, she's never seen one.
Yeah.
Do you really, like, I read on them where Santa Claus came from, and I think it was it was definitely Europe. I want to say Denmark. I'm not sure. I forgot exactly where I read it, but it did come from a person or a legend someplace, I think.
I'm sure.
But anyways, so it was based on sort of something.
I suppose so. I mean, we carry the lie so far that some parents actually put out cookies and milk, and then they take the cookies away and drink like almost all the milk in order to... You know, and then we get into the Easter Bunny showing up, and then we get into the Tooth Fairy putting money under your pillow in large denominations the older you get. And it's just like, wow, folks, like I get that you're trying to tell me stories, but why couldn't you tell me it was a story or something? Why did you dupe me? You know, here's an interesting thing. You know, we all go to magic shows. We watch magic on television and on stage shows and things like that. We see magicians.
Yeah.
And we know that what they're doing is a magic trick. We're still fascinated by it.
Correct.
But we know it's not real. It's an illusion that they're putting forth because we're older and we just know that. It's different for a child because it's like they're so innocent and they're so dupable that I start feeling guilty about that. Like when a kid actually believes it, I feel like saying, "Oh, this is uncomfortable." I don't know. I find it uncomfortable for me.
I don't know why you do, but I understand. But I have to say this: there's nothing like a child's imagination.
Correct.
And you're right. It's not good to trickery a child. It's not good to give them the old Donald Trump lies. But I do say that when their eyes light up, I took my goddaughter to see Santa Claus. And actually, I was reading something that you're not supposed to force the kids on Santa's laps anymore because it's just a trauma for them. But my goddaughter...
That's not why.
Okay. This is a family show.
I'm sorry. And it's not a family show, by the way, but okay.
In my mind, it's a family
show. Oh, okay. You've been duped.
I have been. You have Trump lied to me today. But I have to say that her eyes were like lit up. She wasn't even older. She was like a year old, and she kind of grabbed on the beard.
Yeah.
And you kind of see their little eyes just wide in amazement because for them, you see, kids are about fantasies. That's what makes them different than you and me for various reasons. They don't go to work. They don't stress about the bills. They don't worry about heartache. They're all about bubbles, fairy tales, and popcorn and candy canes. That's what they're all about. And I think it's good to be in that bubble for a little while. We don't all have to know that there is a man behind the curtain or Trump lies every day. We just have to, you know, for kids, they deserve that little bubble for a little while. Yeah. That's what I think.
You know what I mean?
That's what they deserve.
I mean, not to go back to Trump or anything, but we still do that. We're still all children because he says, I'm going to change a tax structure and you're all going to You know, then they're not going to pay as much in taxes, and then the taxes come, and it's like some you've lost some of your other, you know, abilities to save money, and you say to Trump, "Hey, you lied to me," and he says, "Well, I gave you hope."
Well, let me put it this way: now we're going to go back to him, we're still with the children.
I'm sorry.
One of my favorite fairy tales. For me, fairy tales, I started reading really early, just so you know. I was an early reader,
yes.
And I was reading, I think, at a high school level when I was definitely 10 or maybe even 9. I was in a lot of, Shakespeare. But anywho, I base my life experiences now on, these fairy tales. And if you remember, there's a fabulous fairy tale about the emperor who wears no clothes.
Yes, I remember that.
And the moment Donald Trump became Donald Trump in office, and even before that, I realized that's just what this is. It really, truly is. And then we come back to who was the one that said it. A child was the one that said it. We are, it's actually a situation where we are being, the emperor and his minions are trying to show us.
Correct.
That he is wearing clothes. Mm-hmm. And it is really a brainwashing of sorts,
mm-hmm.
that for the first time in the world, in history,
mm-hmm.
people are now being kind of questioning
mm-hmm.
their reality. Correct. So right now, it's a morning, but if you have it, we're now in a situation where people are saying it's not the morning, it's the night. And even if it is the morning,
right.
It doesn't matter because I'm the emperor.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You have to believe what I say. So yeah. that's the scary part of this equation.
Well, the scarier part would be if he actually wasn't wearing clothes. Whoa, would that be scary? Wow. All right.
But
we're getting away from it, I guess, and it's
my fault.
It's
your fault. Yeah. But I do, I do believe that kids should have a bubble of fairy tales growing up.
Yeah.
I just believe it is part of childhood.
It is
a pack of lies, but it's part of what makes them, you know, children, their fantasies makes them kind of, you know, different.
It's their innocence and their gullibility, but that's childhood because they have no experience. They have nothing.
And we want them to hold on to that as long as we can. We don't want them to debate with us about politics when they're five, or is Santa black, is Santa white. We just want them to say, hey, Mom, can, you know, Santa, that's all you want, or dad or uncle.
Yeah. It is interesting that Santa is white, by the way, and
Caucasian. Is he white? Because really?
Well, in our fairy tales, they are.
But I think if you look at the current books and issues, even Barbie's black or Indian or Spanish.
They're altering it now. Yeah, but I mean, that just shows you where we were at it.
Each day we hug each other tighter. Each day we're just getting better and better. Santa is who Santa is.
Yeah, and of course Mrs. Claus helps out.
She is a trooper. Actually, my hat goes off to her.
I think she should be the one delivering the toys.
Really?
Why not? Why can't Santa stay home for a change?
Behind every good man, there's an even better woman, and that's what Mrs. Claus always represented it to me. She was the glue that kept Santa down. She was a woman.
She was the Wizard of Oz. Although in that story there wasn't a real wizard, but in this story there is, and it's the woman. Wow, we're getting into things that we didn't even think we were going to talk about, and this isn't right.
No, but I like the Trump lies.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? Anybody bothering you in that coffee shop today?
You know what? It's a peaceful coffee shop, nice. But I have to say something before we tag out.
Sure.
One of the things that when I said to you about faith, and I truly believe it,
mm-hmm.
It's like, I know that's a seed, because if we believe in things that we can't touch and see, mm-hmm. right, when we're 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
okay, and think of it when we're adults, mm-hmm. you know, me and you and others,
mm-hmm.
and we're going through situations,
mm-hmm.
or we're hoping and we're wishing for something,
mm-hmm.
and it's not tangible,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll throw myself in there. I just launched my fashion collection, and I'm pushing forward towards when it will be in every major store, mm-hmm. Saks, Barney's, all that. And I'm just about to launch my website.
Yep.
there was a grain of something that I had to believe in and hope for. And that's for everybody. You know what I mean? Or even for you before you became the shining star of radio that you are.
That I am.
We all have a faith that pushes us, or a hope for something better, or a hope for something more. Mm-hmm. And that comes from these little acorns from when we were kids, where we were taught faith, hope, and charity. Let's go back to the season. So I say that if this teaches somebody what faith is, or hope, these little fantasies or little lies, if you will, that parents tell, I think that's a good thing, because without faith, without that kind of hope, during this season or when throughout our lives, where will we be if somebody told us that, you know, or I'm speaking for myself, because you're X, Y, and Z, you can never be a fashion designer or a producer, because you're this or that.
That's because you have to believe in yourself. But I do see a parallel here that you've brought out that I totally agree with. When you're a child, you're told that if you're good, then Santa Claus will visit. If you're bad, he may not, or just give you a piece of coal. So that was done for discipline reasons. So I get that. But at the same time, that did fester in a child discipline, and the feeling that if you're a good person and you're good and you're moral and you give all year, that you will get back. And that I do appreciate.
Okay. All right. We agree. The lie is a good lie.
All right. Hey, she wins again. Okay. No, it's not a win-lose thing. Lisa Carey, can I just for a second, when you have your website, can you tell us what it is?
Oh, of course. Yes. It's about, you know, we're still finalizing it, but that's kind of like, because when I was getting ready today, I was thinking, what is faith, hope? And I was telling you, that's how I felt. I kind of became faithful and hopeful over little things, like you said, if I treated people right, if I worked hard, like you said, you win this time. If you worked hard, my mom has always been a fan. I grew up with a single parent. So, for the most part, so if you worked hard, she bought her own house. She bought her own cars, you know, so if you worked hard, you prospered.
Okay.
That's
good.
So,
that's a good thing to instill.
So that's it.
That's what parents are for, to instill that upon their children.
Yes, sir.
Alicia Carey, this has been Chit Chat, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous, and Trump-free lives day.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye. Interesting stuff, man. You just think about it. Interesting. All right. We're just about out of time for today. Tomorrow I'll be back with a brand new show. Who knows what we'll be tackling tomorrow? It could be anything. That's fun. So carve out a little bit of time for me tomorrow. Will you do that? And let's get it on together. I don't know what that meant. That could have meant anything. I don't think I meant it the way you thought I meant it. I don't know how you thought I meant it, but I don't think it was meant the way you thought it was. I wish you peace.